welcome to another episode of the Sisters in Christ podcast. I am Pamela Ferguson, and joining me in studio is my beloved sister in Christ, Tamara Evans.
Thank you, Pam. Happy to be back.
It's good. We're going to conclude part two of our conversation on the topic, A Time to Worship. Today, tomorrow, we shift the scenes from the valley to the mountain. But here's the truth. We tend to forget God more on the mountaintop than in the storm. When the bills are paid, the prayers are answered, the doors are open, do we still bow? Moses warned Israel not to forget the Lord in their abundance. David, a king, still danced wildly before God. Worship during times of prosperity and blessings keep us grounded, keep us grateful, and keep us His. It's that time now to go get your coffee, your tea, or whatever your favorite drink, and join Tamara and I in this conversation as we conclude this topic, A Time to Worship, and discuss worshiping God on the mountain when life is full. So welcome again, Tamara.
Yes, we're here to discuss a very important topic.
You know, I learned that sometimes it's easier for people to forget God when things are going well. For me, that's the time when I praise Him. I remember when I was taking my level one CFA exam, and I was under so much stress because I was getting the answer. And while answering the questions, I'm just praying, God, don't let this stop. Don't let this stop. Let me continue. Let me continue this. I didn't want that, like, oh, this question, like, where did this come from? And then it would have been downhill from there. And I know we had like a 2-hour break. We had like 9 to 12 was the first part. And then I think 2 to 5 was the second part. And in that 2-hour break, I was by myself because I was under such pressure. I'm like, okay, God, let the second half be as good as the first half. I didn't want to lose it.
Yeah.
I find that I'm so grateful to God, Tamara, for where I am, that I'm always giving Him thanks and praise for what He has done for me. But that's not the case across the board. So why do you think, Tamara, it's so easy to forget God when life is good? And how can we as children of God use worship to keep us grounded in seasons of blessings?
My mind went back to our episode on Gideon.
Yeah.
And reminded that as long as there's prosperity, there's a tendency in human nature to become complacent, to become comfortable, and forget where you come from. And the Lord, in His wisdom, reminds us to remember. He told the Israelites, remember that I brought you out of Egypt with an outstretched arm, a mighty hand. And it's something that you have to recall to mind continuously. And you have to put yourself in a place of, you know, something, I remember praying about this and I didn't give God thanks for answering this prayer. So it's almost like it's a practice. We have to practice it. We have to put ourselves in a position every day to be mindful of the mercies of God that come to us new every morning and the goodness of God to dwell with us, to help us, to be by our side and to bless us.
Yeah. I think it's about being grateful as well.
Mm-hmm.
When we acknowledge that where we are is not because of ourselves solely. It's because of God, but also there are some people who help us to get where we are as well.
Yes.
And if we go through life just thinking that we are here because of our own strength, it reminds me of Nebuchadnezzar. You know, when we don't have that spirit of gratefulness that helps us to be humble about where we are. I like Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8, verses 10 through 14, when Moses talked about this. And sometimes we don't think about this. We think, you know, it's a given when God blesses us for us to be grateful. Mm-hmm. But Moses warned the children of Israel in verse 10, "And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herd and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be filled and you forget the Lord your God who mm-hmm. brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." So Moses is warning the children of Israel that be careful. So when things are going good, you forget him. And that's what we tend to do sometimes.
Yes.
We don't want to acknowledge him. And so we make people think it's us. And yeah. then we forget him and put him aside. And he's telling, be careful.
Mm-hmm.
When you're on that mountaintop, that's the time we need to worship. That's the yeah. time we need to reverence God. Put him first so that we find favor, continued favor with him.
Yeah. And you know, it's a very serious thing.
Yeah.
When our hearts become proud before mm-hmm. the Lord, mm-hmm. we look at what we have, and it's easy to get in the flesh and say, my own hand wrought all of this success. When that happens, it's a very serious place to be, because God resists the proud mm-hmm. and he gives grace to the humble. There's no place for worship when we are in that state of being proud or prideful, where we determine that we almost are gods to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We make these things idols.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of worshiping the true and living God, we worship the created things that he's given us mm-hmm. as blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fearful place to be.
Yeah.
Because once you get to that point, you're on the other side of you're not on the good side.
Yeah.
You know, like how your parents say, don't get on my bad side. You know, God
yes.
resists
yeah.
the proud.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a way of bringing you to a place as his child to be reminded.
And there's nothing wrong with prosperity, Tamara. There's nothing wrong with the children of God, anybody doing well and being prosperous. But if we have prosperity without gratitude, then that's where pride comes in.
Yeah.
Because we forget that what we have, where we are, what we have accomplished is but for the grace of God. Of God. And
yeah.
that gratitude and being grateful and humility will help us not to look down on other people. So sometimes we may be in a good place. But if you look through many people's lives, where we are today, we weren't always here. There were trials. There were valley experiences
yeah, oh yeah.
to get us to where we are. So when we get to the mountain, pride will cause us to look down on other persons who are struggling as if we didn't have to go through something, one thing or another, to get where we are. So it's very important for us to have that heart of gratitude and to be humble and not look down on persons who we may perceive to be struggling where they are, but to try and help them up, because we know that we would not have been here if God didn't help us.
Yeah, I was remembering the story in 2 Chronicles 26:5, and later down in that same story about King Uzziah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says, and he's in 2 Chronicles 26:5, "And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord,
mm-hmm.
God
mm-hmm.
made him mm-hmm. to prosper."
Mm-hmm.
As long as he sought the Lord, it was the Lord himself mm-hmm. who made him to prosper.
Mm-hmm.
But then something happened.
Mm-hmm.
He became prideful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And see, when that happens, God resists you.
Mm-hmm.
It says, in 26:16, mm-hmm. 2 Chronicles 26:16, "But after Uzziah became powerful."
Yeah. Isn't that something? blessing,
pride,
blessing, mountaintop experience, right? This is a time when you want to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for being here.
On your knees.
This is the time, but what tends to happen? Human nature.
His pride led to his downfall. Mm-hmm. He was unfaithful to the Lord, his God, and ended the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense.
Yeah.
Now, that's something, a job that should be done for the priest.
Oh, yeah.
You're the king. Mm-hmm. That's not your job. Mm-hmm. But pride hits you now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You want to be in all and in all.
Yeah.
And so Azariah the priest with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord followed him into the temple. And they confronted King Uzziah and said, it is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests and the descendants of Aaron who have been consecrated to burn incense. They tell him, leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and you will not be honored by the Lord God. And Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand ready to burn incense, he became angry. And while he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. Don't play with God. Don't play with God. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about worship now. Yeah. He went to offer incense as a sign of worship to God. But he himself wasn't in the right place. He wasn't called to do it. His heart wasn't there. And so God returned a serious corrective measure on him. Mm-hmm. He broke out, and then, you know, with leprosy, you couldn't even be among your people anymore.
Yeah. And it goes back to what we were talking about in part one, when we talk about is it's not that outward expression. Yeah, you can express it, but it's about what's in the heart. And also, a part of worship is obedience.
Obedience.
They disobeyed God and the rules.
And he said, this reminds me of Saul. Mm-hmm. You remember Saul went to do the same. Saul went to do the same thing, and his kingdom was taken away from him. I think God is very clear. When you come before him, he's assigned all of us our ministerial duties, especially within the church. And if we want to put it in context, God has given each person their giftings. Mm-hmm. And then you become envious of somebody else's gift or ministry. And then you try to undermine it and go and do your own thing out of pride. Mm-hmm. They can't, they ain't doing this right, or I should be there.
Yeah.
Be careful with that.
Yeah. I always wonder if people are afraid of God. Because, you know, the way I look at it is, right, like, you could be walking around all puffed up and, you know, prideful and appear to be getting the upper hand. But there is a God who sits high and look low. And once the children of God just stand still and allow him to deal with it, he does a better job.
And I think there's a way for us to even test ourselves to see if we're falling into that sinful way of living in pride. Because if we remember the rich man, he considered himself, everything was I.
Yeah.
But my hand is done. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I build this. Mm-hmm. I will build more. It's I. So if you having conversations with yourself, I built this from the ground up and nobody else is going to do it. I.
I was having a conversation a few years with some friends, and I was saying to them that, you know, where you are, you had help. And they were like, help? What you talking about?
So
I said, you had help. I don't care what you say. You had help to get where you are today. It was not because of you by yourself. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how talented you are. You had help.
Yes.
Above and below.
Oh, yeah.
You had help to get where you are.
And in saying that, as believers, when we're challenged with that, because I see sometimes it comes in my own heart, I have to check myself and be reminded of the good that people have done in my life.
Yeah.
Because if, you know, relationships can be so, they ebb and flow at times. And sometimes someone may get you mad, like you say, cross my spirit, make me vex. And then you go off, and then you have to be reminded of the good the person has done.
And then tell them,
Yes.
That's a form of humility, and that's a form of breaking down any type of haughty spirit that may exist.
Yeah.
Tell them.
Acknowledge it.
Acknowledge that, you know, I thank you for what you have done to help me to be where I am.
Yeah, I was trying to encourage someone recently because they found themselves in a position where they would be considered, you know, when sometimes things happen in your life and or to someone in your family and you feel that shame or whatever it may be. And you talk to the Lord and you say, Lord, but you brought, this is low. You brought us low. You could be like Mordecai and go to the floor and take that dirt and throw it on your head because we have become low. And I was encouraging them saying, you know, when you're in this position, see the hand of God in it. And it could be worse if you think about some of the things that could have or would have happened that didn't. Mm-hmm. So even in the discipline.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I'm learning, you know, I'm the type of person, if things don't go as planned, I get frustrated. I get upset, you know, and I feel like I have to fight my way out of this. But I'm learning to just allow God to work it out because we have to go through these sometimes painful moments so that God can show up and so that God can prune us and help us to be what he called us to be.
Yeah.
Very few people get ahead in life and do well without going through valley experiences.
Uh-huh.
And so, yes, when you get over that initial shock of the thing that is causing pain, just see God in it.
Yeah.
And say, God, what is it that you are saying to me? I did that before when I was doing a public speaking event and I told you, and I just had a meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards I say, okay, God, okay, you're saying something to me. Tell me.
Let's get this over with.
What are you saying to me? And I ran to the scriptures. I ran to the scriptures to figure out.
Not 40 years.
Yeah, you know, I don't need to linger here.
Yeah.
I don't want to stay here. And he did. Once you open up your heart to him, he tells you what it is that he wants out of it. And I appreciate when I look back in that moment, in that season, I didn't. But now I appreciate what I went through to be where I am.
Yeah, it's total dependence
today
on him. And when we go to worship him, it's a great reminder that in my soul magnifies the Lord. It's out of his mercy and his grace, the acknowledgement of his sovereignty, that you recognize that I needed him in this moment because what I'm going through, I can't help myself through it.
Mm-hmm.
I need the power of God. And I think in your prayer, in your form of worship to him, you said, Lord, enter into my weakness and help me to overcome.
Yeah.
And in humility, he responded. Out of your humility, he responded with grace and mercy.
Yeah. David was passionate and unashamed of his worship experiences. When we look at Psalms 103, and I will read from verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with the steadfast love and mercy, who satisfy you with good so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. David worshiped the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
What does this type of worship, Tamara, teach us about joy, the expression of joy and gratitude to God without reservation?
Well, we can acknowledge from the scripture you just read that worship starts within the soul. It's an inward heart condition. And from that inward heart condition and being reminded of who God is and our own sinfulness, our own frailty, then through expression, whether it's in with David, an instrument, the harp, or whether it's in song, we express our acknowledgement of who God is and what he does for us.
Mm-hmm.
Forget not his benefits. He brings us to a place that we have to recall to mind and remember. He heals our diseases. He delivers us. He crowns us.
Mm-hmm.
And he satisfies our mouth with good things.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And this psalm takes you to a place where even if you're in a bad place, mm-hmm. you can recall to mind the goodness of God. Right. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name.
A lifestyle.
A lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I remember when Nehemiah was going before the king, he's never been before the king downcast mm-hmm. because he was thinking about the walls of Jerusalem being broken down and the state of his homeland. And, you know, to me that says, you know, Lord, this is something Nehemiah knows that when you go before the king, you should have a certain demeanor. Mm-hmm. Your countenance should be as mm-hmm. such. But his own that day was different, and the king recognized it, and he spoke to him about it. And in the response, the king was able to give Nehemiah permission to do what he needed to do, and also send help with him resources to help him do what he needed to do. And so he went before the king, even though he was broken. The king understood who was before him. Mm-hmm. And the king was able to respond in kindness. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with David before the Lord. When he goes before him, he acknowledges from his soul and his mm-hmm. heart, I'm going before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Whatever my positioning may be, he can do something about it if he chooses to.
Yeah.
So my heart will sing before this king mm-hmm. and glorify him mm-hmm. because he has done great things for me.
Yeah. And what I appreciate about this story was that David had to come to this point, and he had an experience. When we look at 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 14, where you look from 1 to 14, when I read this story, it was such an amazing story. Because at first, when I read it, I felt like David. I didn't understand why God did what he did. And they were removing the ark, and God gives specific instructions. And he told them to put the ark on the pole and let the priest carry it, because only the priest was able to touch the ark. But they did it like the Philistines did it. They put it on the cart. I figured it was easier to do mm-hmm. it. And because it was on the cart, it stumbled. The cart hit something and the ark went to fall. And Uzzah mm-hmm. caught it and he died on the spot. And David was upset. He was afraid and he was upset. Like he thought like, why God, why would you do that? Right? And so David said, no, the ark isn't coming with me. It went to Obed-Edom. And he heard, it was there for about 3 months, it said, and he heard that while at Obed-Edom, he was prospering.
Mm-hmm.
And David said, okay.
Lord bless the house.
I'm going to, yeah, he prospered because the ark represent God's presence.
Yes.
There's blessings in the presence
oh, yeah.
of God. And so David said, okay, now we're bringing this. And he did it the way God initially told him to do it, mm-hmm. and he rejoiced and give God thanks as he was transporting this ark. And it was such a powerful story because I had to read over it and read over it to understand, like, I get, what's going on here, God? And it goes back to what we talked about worship being about obedience.
Yes.
I mean, that was simple. Like, okay, I'm trying to find an easier way to do this. But no, that is not what God told you to do. He mm-hmm. said to you the way he wanted this done, but you did it. So you could be well-intentioned, because he was well-intentioned.
Yeah.
But that does not trump obedience.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, David, recognizing that, he rejoiced. So his worship came from someplace. That's why I said sometimes mm-hmm. when you have these valleys experiences, in the midst of it, yeah, we're humans. And we are downtrodden, but we don't stay there because we know we trust the God who sees everything and yeah. he's able to deliver us. And so that's why we give praise in the midst of our situation.
We have this Holy Spirit within us to help
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit understands. David was grieved when Uzzah passed.
Mm-hmm.
And he was probably very disturbed. Why would the Lord do such a thing? But the Lord had given us, even with Cain and Abel,
yep.
instructions on yep. how he would receive our worship.
Mm-hmm.
How would he would receive our offerings.
Mm-hmm.
We don't offer and sacrifice and worship bulls and so forth mm-hmm. as in the Old Testament, but we are living sacrifices. And so if we consider our own bodies as living sacrifices, how are we presenting
yeah.
our bodies to the mm-hmm. Lord? Our bodies are the temple of the Lord. The Holy Spirit lives in us. How are we treating our time with the Lord? How are we treating our bodies? What are we doing for the Lord? And when we present ourselves to Him, what condition or state are we in? Mm-hmm. And one of the fearful things I have is, especially in our this day and age, it seems to be like a loss of, you said earlier, the fear of God. Mm-hmm. You know, you could go to church on a Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Any kind of how.
Or, you know, you doing what you want to do. You watching what you want to watch. Mm-hmm. You engaging in the conversations you want to engage in as if God isn't there. But His Holy Spirit is dwelling in us, living in us. He's hearing everything. And oftentimes He's grieved mm-hmm. by our thoughts. And a prayer that we should always pray, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Mm-hmm. You are my strength and my redeemer. But I think we, unless we're actually in some cases, if we're not in the church building, mm-hmm. that tends to escape some Christians.
Yeah.
And I want to challenge especially young believers, you know, with the day and age, with the internet and online worship services. Mm-hmm. And I love to see how some churches are doing their social media and so forth. But we have to be careful. Mm-hmm. This is not entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to tick the box. I worship today. So that's it now.
It's not mm-hmm. entertainment when you go before the Lord, whether it's in a holy convocation on a Sunday morning or whenever the church is called in a gathering. We're there to commune with our mm-hmm. King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
And that's why we ought to think, it's so important for us to think of worship as a lifestyle where we are offering our whole life.
Present your bodies as a living yes. sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. It's just spiritual, it's a spiritual act of worship. Mm-hmm. That's your reasonable service
yeah.
to the Lord.
Everything
to Him.
Everything.
And that life living should then reflect His likeness.
Yeah.
Christ's likeness.
Yes, in us. Our time, our gifts, our priorities, everything, whatever you could think of. Nothing is too trivial
right.
to put it before God and give it back to Him.
Right, because of His sacrifice on the cross, because of His gift of salvation. I now offer myself up to be yes. used for His honor and for His glory.
Totally. Tamara, close us out in prayer, please.
Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for this time that You've given us today to challenge our own hearts, Lord, in the way we actually view You in our worship. Lord, we want to fear You. And this is not in the sense of being afraid, because we know perfect love casts out all fear. But in reverence, in honor, in admiration, and adoration, this is where we want our hearts conditioned to be. And not just on a Sunday morning, but Lord, daily presenting our bodies to You as a living sacrifice. You said, if anyone wants to follow after You, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross daily and follow You. And this is our great desire. Thank You for Your word. And the examples that we were able to share today with our listening audience. And we pray, Father, that as that word goes forth, that all of us will be challenged, will be transformed by it, and we'll be encouraged to live a life that's pleasing and acceptable to You. We ask Your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Tamara. And thank you to our listening audience. Just want to remember that worship doesn't just echo from pain. It flows from praise. So let's not just thank God, but let us honor Him. Let's not just receive, but let us rejoice. So whether you are dancing like David or simply giving God your day, just know, friends, it counts in the eyes of God. Until next time, continue to trust in God.